out, that was kind of a time killer for me to come down off of there to come down here, because as I said before, I don't usually do what's expected. So my life outside of the church is, or my professional role, is director of respiratory therapy, among other things. I work in a 600-bed hospital in New Brunswick, and I am in charge of about 130 people. To be effective at doing what I do, I have to read, I have to attend seminars, I read books, I go to training courses, I do a lot of things to try and be better at what I do. One of the hot topics in management lately has been servant leadership. And if you go into Amazon and type in servant leadership, you'll come up with over 1,000 books, literally. In the top 10 are two books that I recommend to you because I've done some research on this. One is Jesus on Leadership by Gene Wilkes and Calvin Miller. And the other is Jesus and Paul by Dr. Efrain Augusto. I think that when it comes to leading people, the number one example we have is from Jesus, at least as Christians. Now, let's see if I can make this work. That way? This way? It is on. I got green. Efrain, I broke it. Well, maybe. Okay, we'll keep going. It'll catch up. So, what do we know about, as Christians, we're clear that we have a role. It's clear that we have learned about talents. Thank you, gentlemen. I think we have learned about gifts. But what do we have to bring to the world? Now, the world puts some of these folks in front of you as leaders. For those of you that don't recognize the gentleman in the upper left-hand corner, that's the president of the World Church and of Seventh-day Adventists. I put him up there because he's here to lead all the rest of us. So what do we do to define the terms I'm going to talk about today? So servant, when Webster defines servant as one who serves others, a public servant, especially one that performs duties about the person or home of a master or personal employer. And leader is a person who leads, such as a guide or a conductor, a person who directs a military force or unit, and a person who has commanding authority or influence, to pick on Jimmy's term from the children's story. And what is leadership? The office or position of a leader. The capacity to lead. The act or an instance of leading. And leadership molds individuals into a team. Now, Wikipedia says, servant leadership is a leadership philosophy. Traditional leadership generally involves the exercise of a power by one at the top of the pyramid. By comparison, servant leadership shares power, puts the needs of others first, and helps people develop and perform as highly as possible. Servant leadership turns the power pyramid upside down, as you can see in the picture. Instead of people working to serve the leader exists to serve the people. When leaders shift their mindset and serve first, they unlock the purpose and integrity of those around them, resulting in higher performance and engaged, fulfilled employees. Now, that puts it in the secular realm, but it applies in our realm, too. So, looking at these definitions, it seems pretty clear that being a servant means you have a master. And at the heart of being a servant is the concept of being a follower. Because if you're not following somebody, then you're a leader, and it's very possible that you could be outstanding in your own field if no one's following you. Now, Jesus followed... This is complicated, boy. Jesus followed the will of his Father, not his own. In John 4:34, he said, "My food is to do the work of him who sent me and to finish his work." And in Luke 19:10, he said, "The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." So it's clear that Jesus didn't really fulfill the role of the traditional leader even in his day. So the scripture reading we had today talked about his expectations. Jesus called to them and said, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Now, I'll pause there for a moment and point out that in my role as director, I am considered by at least one individual I know very well as a suit. I am a suit because I have a title, and I tend to have authority, real or imagined, over the people that work with me and for me. What we're trying to distinguish here is the difference, or as my the individual I'm referring to points out, that there are suits and then there are suity suits. They are at a much higher level and really believe the traditional model of I'm not here to take care of you, you're here to take care of me. And that's not what Jesus wanted. Jesus wants us to not exercise authority over people, but to be, whoever would be great amongst you must be your servant, and whoever would be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. So that sets the stage for expectations. So what's next? To be an effective leader, you must have some of these things. You have to have a mission. You have to have a vision. You have to have the ability to grow, or in some cases, attract followers. You should be humble. Now, humble does not necessarily mean meek. It doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have a presence. I like to think that I'm humble, but it's clear that I have a presence. I have never learned how to be low profile. I have never learned how to be shy and retiring. You are stuck with what you see, ladies and gentlemen, and find greatness through service. So a mission is inspired by God and follows what Jesus taught. It's fueled by a passion and answers the question, God has called me to fill in the blank. Now, just to kind of put this in a more clear context, there are at least, well, there are probably a dozen examples of missions going on right here in the church, but I'll pick on two. The praise team, who were up here a few minutes ago and frankly helped me out tremendously by picking the music for this Sabbath, and Winston and Edwin are clearly the leaders of that group. They have a mission. God has called me, fill in the blank, sorry Edwin, taking this away from you, to praise God in a public forum to the best of the ability and to grow the talents of those who are participating. Yes? We agree? Okay. The AV team back there, who behind the scenes make sure that everything works as it's supposed to. They don't seek fame and fortune, certainly not fortune. And what is their mission? To make sure that these things work, that people are given the sermons recorded afterwards via email. They make sure that these work. And frankly, the AV team got together with a number of other people and built that nice setup in the corner back there, because that used to be, less than functional once upon a time. So those are the missions. Now, I could go on and on. I could pick on my brother Daryl, who has a passion for making sure that the youth of the church are taken care of. But what's the vision? A vision answers the question, when the mission is complete, it will look like fill in the blank. Okay? It can be explained to followers and can be passed to followers. So, to pick on my friends, the praise team, they have a vision. What happens when the mission is complete? Well, the music sounds good. They attract, well, we're going to come to followers in a minute, but they support the people who are working with them. They want as professional a presentation as they possibly can. The vision for the AV team, everything will go smoothly. Nobody will wonder what happened. And why didn't that work? And I take full responsibility for everything not working earlier. And the ability to grow followers. Well, attracting followers is not always difficult. You know, people are attracted to what they see as it fits into their skill set. It fits into their passion of what they want to do. But sometimes it's not where they belong. Now, I will, again, come back to my friends, the praise team. I really enjoy singing. I'm bad at it. To use the term in Psalms, I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Okay? If I am standing next to an alto, I sing alto. If I'm standing next to a bass, I sing bass. If I'm standing next to somebody who can't carry a tune, well, fill in the blank. What is the, why do we look for these things? Okay? We want followers. If you are to become a follower, you are joining someone else's mission. You are then sharing in someone else's vision. So what's the next step to that? We need to equip you. We need to build on those skills. That's why the praise team meets every Friday night to go through what the program is going to be for Sabbath morning. There's rehearsals. I'm sure that behind the scenes there's probably practices that are individual. I don't know if Winston's still doing it, but Winston used to do guitar lessons before praise team practice to make sure that whoever wanted to be up here had the skill to be up here. You know, so it's not enough to be passionate, you have to actually be able to do it. And how do you mobilize and motivate those that you equipped so when the praise team isn't here, or the AV team isn't here, or the elders aren't here, or the deacons and deaconesses aren't here, things still get done? That's the maybe the crux of building a team, and how to make that happen is part of the trick. So if we use Jesus' example, and I won't read all of those, the texts are up there, and he, in Mark 3:14 and 15, he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have power to heal sicknesses and cast out demons. Well, he picked the followers in that case because it says he appointed. In Mark 3:35, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister. And 1 Peter 5:3 said, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And we could go over verse after verse after verse, and I stand on the shoulders of giants here when I do this, because every sermon that I've sat through out there with you guys, I've learned. One of the philosophies I tried to live through, by the way, just as a quick aside, is I never lose. I win or I learn, and that's what we're going through here. So be humble. Well, Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. He said meek. He didn't say weak. Okay, so our job is to be humble. He humbled himself before God and allowed God to exalt him. God physically, manifestly exalted him twice that we are going to pick on in the scriptures. Once at his baptism, once on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he used the same phrase, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And if we look at Philippians 2:3-8, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this in mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. And if you want one more example, Desire of Ages, page 74 in paragraph 3, yet Jesus shunned display. During all the years of his stay at Nazareth, he made no exhibition of his miraculous power. He sought no position and assumed no titles. His quiet and simple life, even the silence of the scriptures concerning his early years, teach an important lesson. So don't go seeking the spotlight. Let the spotlight find you. And finding greatness through service. John 13:12-15 talks about the ordinance of humility where Jesus washed everybody's feet. Now, Jesus was clearly, let's be real, king of the universe, and came down to earth in the form of a man, and didn't take a position, didn't use authority, didn't become a suity suit. He went and tried to help everybody where they were. And to make sure that his followers understood the role, he put himself in the role of a slave, picked up a towel, and washed their feet to say, if I can do this to you, you can do this to everybody else. Provide the example. And in Luke 22:26, it says, be not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. So, what do we take from this? How do we translate this into our own lives? So, in the book, Jesus on Leadership, Gene Wilkes distilled this into the following. Jesus humbled himself to his Father's will. He followed his will rather than seeking a position. He defined greatness as being a servant. He risked serving others because he trusted that he was God's son. He left heaven to serve the needs of others. He shared responsibility and authority with those he called, and he built a team to carry out a worldwide vision. So, be a follower. Listen to your master. In Hebrews 13:7, it says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Take up the towel. Share responsibility. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for the ransom of many. Take up the towel was kind of an odd phrase, but I got that from the book. It means I'm not here to be the guy that says, do this, do that, do as I say, not necessarily as I do. So build your team. Empower them by giving them roles that they can do. Grow them in the role. Because if you grow them in the role, eventually when you move out of that role, they're going to be prepared to step in. Because there's nothing worse in the world than building a mission, having success, being a vision, and then having that individual leave, and then the vacuum implodes the entire mission. And nothing moves forward after that. So how do we make that happen? By building those who are following you. They may leave you and go off on their own mission. That's okay. That's what you want them to do. And by the way, I had a mentor once upon a time that said, if you can't be replaced, you can't be promoted. So let's take that into consideration. I'm not going to say that Jesus was promoted. I'm going to say that Jesus went back to the position he had before. So that doesn't make him any less important as an example to us. Take a risk. Oh, okay, that's not on the slide. Take a risk. Step out in faith. Be humble. John 13:16. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent them. Find a purpose in service. Use the talents you have. You might find out that you have some talents you didn't know you have, like standing up here. Acts 20:35 says, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So, a final thought. I picked this up on LinkedIn. It is a story. I was told to make sure that I was clear with everybody. This is not my story. This is someone else's story, but I think it gives a good example of how you incorporate what I just said into your life. So one night when I pulled into my neighborhood, about 4:30, there was a FedEx truck that was around the corner that was broken down. And I just drove past it without really taking a second look, but my wife Shauna noticed it as well when she pulled in shortly after me. We were both meeting at the house because we were heading to dinner with my in-laws at the local Mexican restaurant, so we went and ate and had fun with family and thought nothing of the evening. When we returned home about 8:20, the truck was still there, but it was much darker. Shauna, being the much better person of the two of us, said that we should take him some food. I hesitated, but then agreed it was the right thing to do. Camden, our five-year-old, wanted to take it to the driver, but I told him to get in the shower and start getting ready for bed, and I set out some food and a large bottle of water for the unlucky driver. When I got to the truck, there was no one in the driver's seat. Hello? Then there was some rustling from the back, and a head popped out, and the conversation ensued. Me. Hey, I don't mean to alarm you. I just wanted to bring this to you. Him. Really? Oh, man, I don't know what to say. Thank you so much. Me. Well, my wife and I saw the truck earlier and then came back and you were still here, and I think we've all been there at some point or another, so here you go. Him. My name is Jim. I can't believe this. Thank you so much. I just got a call that I'm probably going to be out here for another couple of hours. Me? Really? I'm Ryan. And well, if anything happens or you need anything, that's our house over there, but not softly because we have a 10-month-old. Jim. I have one on the way too, and two little girls. Me. Man, the hours of a FedEx driver have got to be tough on them, especially when something like this happens. And this is where he said something completely blew me away. Oh, I'm not the driver. I came out here and sent my driver home to his family. I'm the general manager of our location. Wow. Hey, man, if you need anything, seriously, let me know. It was really nice to meet you, Jim, and you should know that you're a real leader, and I hope your guys know that and appreciate you. Thanks, Ryan, and thanks to your family. And with that, I walked away, but couldn't help but feel some emotion about the conversation that I just had. I have had the title of sales training manager for a little over 2 years. Often in those training sessions, especially with sales managers, I find myself trying to make sure that people know a leader of men will make a better manager than 100 other skill sets or qualifications that might be required. When I got home, I told my son, who was upset because he'd gotten in trouble at school, the story of Jim and why it was important. I told him how a real leader puts the needs of his team over his own needs because the team is the real lifeblood of what he's trying to accomplish. They aren't there to serve him. He's there to serve them. I let him know that I would guess that the drivers that work for Jim would likely walk through fire for him because they knew that he was someone who would put them first. A long time ago, someone at my second job out of college told me that a lot of people think that the higher you move in a company, the less you have to do. He told me how people think that you move up and you have other people doing tasks for you. But the reality of the situation is the higher you get in the organization, the harder you have to work to serve the people who work for you. Now, I've experienced really great leaders and some that have lacked a little in that department directly above me on the corporate ladder through the course of my career. At my current company, I've been extremely blessed with the direct managers and executive committee that run the company. But it's always a blessing when God brings someone into your life to give you a refresher of these lessons. Here's to hoping that that tow truck gets here soon so that you can get home to your family very soon. And here's to you, Jim, the FedEx guy, for reminding me that what a real leader looks like in a place I never expected, in a broken down truck around the corner from my house. And ladies and gentlemen, that's my thought. So to be a servant means you have to follow a leader. You have to follow a leader that you can put your trust in and knows that and you know is going to have your back at every moment. You need to be, if you are that leader, this is sort of the pyramid. You know, if I'm following you, then someone's following me. So how do you be that good example? Be that good example. And as I heard on the radio driving in, you have to behave like somebody's watching you at every time. Now, those of you with small kids, they're watching. Those of you that have a job, somebody's watching. And, you know, it's at your house, it's at your job, and you know what? Forget about the people around you that might be watching. Jesus is watching. So to go back to a phrase from the 70s that I remember when I was much younger, sorry, Daryl, what would Jesus do? Keep that in mind. Thank you, everybody. Oh, closing hymn, 572.